Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles looked out and he said, what? Look at this great army that is coming against us. There is fear gripping America today. You cannot turn on your television set. There's not another shooting and a mugging. There's not another fire. There's not another disaster. There are tornadoes and hurricanes. There are hailstones. There are droughts. Wake up, America. Wake up, America. God is trying to speak to us.
We all can use some encouragement, and we'll find it together today from the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilton. The Encouraging Word. Today's message is I Will Raise It Up, a powerful message from the book of John that we'll be diving into in just a few minutes with Dr. Wilton. But he wants you to know that we're here for you. Even as we study, we'd love to take your call or meet you online. TheEncouragingWord.org is our website. That's TheEncouragingWord.org. Or give us a call at this phone number, 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. We'd love to connect with you and connect you with great resources that'll help you grow in your faith. That's 866-899-9673 or theencouragingword.org. And now today's message with Dr. Don Wilton. The Encouraging
Word. You see, John chapter 2 has one of the most powerful statements about the resurrection. And I'm not going to read to you this whole passage today. I want to just show you the most important verse in this passage, John chapter 2 and verse 21. John chapter 2 and verse 21. But Jesus was speaking about the temple of his body. But Jesus was speaking about the temple of his body. This is what happened. Let me explain to you just in a nutshell. The Jews were about to celebrate the Passover feast. And so Jesus went up to Jerusalem, this passage tells us, and he went into the temple. So I want you to just picture somewhat like this, somewhat in the hangar as people worship. Just picture your church. Went into the synagogue, went into the temple. Jesus went into the temple. And when he walked into the temple, he saw a whole lot of things and activities that evidently he absolutely was not willing to tolerate. He didn't accommodate them. He threw them out. And when he did that, the group of people who were inside the church, in the temple, who saw the indignation of the Son of God concerning their actions and activities as part of the house of God, said, well, we're going to just corner him. Now, I'm going to paraphrase. These people looked at Jesus and said, okay, so you don't want us to place any kind of spiritual significance on our sacrifices and our rituals and our own brands of spirituality. Because that's exactly what Jesus did. Jesus looked at them and he said to them, you all are coming into church. You all claim to have a relationship with God, Jehovah, and you've all brought your own brand of spirituality to the table. And I do not accept the way you are trying to approach me. That's why part of the reason why the church in America is disintegrating, because it is filled with people like you and me who are standing up in the face of God and saying, this is what I am going to bring before the Lord. Jesus walked in there and said, I don't care what you've decided you're going to bring. Take it out of here. I do not accept those things. And so these people looked at him like many of us do, and they said, okay, so you're Jesus, are you? Well, if in fact you are who you say you are, why don't you then show us some kind of sign or miracle? Bring it to the table. There was almost a sarcasm in their voice. If you're not going to accept what we decide we want to bring to you, then why don't you show us something special? Jesus looked at them and he said, okay, I tell you what, I'll show you a miracle. Destroy this temple and in 3 days I will build it up. And these people, these citizens of that nation, these Jewish people looked at each other. I can only imagine the raucous laughter that went up, the mock, the jeer. Can you believe this man? We always thought he was out in the left field. He doesn't even understand what it takes to build something like this. It's taken us 46 years. He obviously knows nothing about building and construction and engineering. Look at the size of these stones. How can you just rebuild something in 3 days? And they mocked him. And that's when Jesus looked at them and he said to them, you have all got it wrong. It's about the resurrection. It's about my body. It's about me. I'm talking about me. You can destroy this temple. And by the power of God, in 3 days, God by his power will raise me up. And when he raises me up, it is in me that you will live and move and have your being, because I am the only one who can conquer both sin and death and the grave. I am the Lord your God, and only me shalt thou serve. And so they began to scamper around with one another. And many of them said, well, I told you so, and I told you so, and I told you so. And Jesus did not commit himself to them, because they could have said, I told you so, until the cows came home. But the Bible says in verse 23, verse 24 and 25, that Jesus, who is the Son of God, knew what was in man. He knew the heart of man, just as he knows your heart and he knows my heart. And during these days of prayer and fasting, I've been asking the Lord to show me the truth of my heart. You see, man can only look on the outward appearance, but God looks upon the heart. And then in John chapter 3, which we all know about, there was a wonderful illustration. This man's name was Nicodemus. By the way, Nicodemus was probably their top man. He was chairman of the board. He was the pastor of the congregation. He was the bishop. I mean, this was a conversation with the Pope in their time. If anybody had done it according to the right way to do it, Nicodemus had. He had paid his dues. And not only that, he evidently was a very good man. Came to Jesus. He was one of them. He realized what Jesus did in the temple was that Jesus had just thrown him out and said to him, you need to get your heart right with me. And he looked at Nicodemus, this man eminently qualified, and he said to him, Nicodemus, unless you're born again, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. You see, what he was telling Nicodemus was that in order for Nicodemus to be changed and to live a changed life, and to have a full and meaningful life, he had to be changed from inside out. It will never happen from outside in. All across America today, we've come to write our own constitution for a personal relationship with God, and he's throwing it out. He said, you've got it wrong. It has to do with me. It's got to do with the fact that I'm the Son of God. And unless I live and reside in your heart to the point at which your body is the temple of the living God, you will never amount to anything in my sight. You will never have eternal life. These people in the temple in Jesus' day, they believed that they would change because they could begin outside. They could begin with all their rituals and their good works. and their right standing and their citizenship and which group they belonged to and whether they were within the in crowd or whether they belonged to the outside. It didn't matter. They began outside and believed whatever it was that they did outside would change them inside. Jesus said there's not a single thing outside that'll ever change you inside, because I am God alone and I'm sovereign, and my Spirit will work in your heart and will draw you into the heart of God and will convince you of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. I've grappled with these things. It's in me that you live and move and have your being. And there are people all across America today, good people, wonderful people, productive people, serving people, who are coming up empty because you don't have Jesus living in your heart and in your life. And I want to invite you to give your life to Christ. That's where it begins. And in every pattern, they saw the need in their own lives, in their national lives, in the world in which they lived. They saw the burned down gates and the broken walls, and they responded to the call of God, and they set about praying and fasting and developing an intimacy with a holy and a righteous God, and God began to move in. Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles looked out and he said, "What? Look at this great army that is coming against us. There is fear gripping America today. You cannot turn on your television set. There's not another shooting and a mugging. There's not another fire. There's not another disaster. There are tornadoes and hurricanes. There are hailstones. There are droughts. Wake up, America. Wake up, America. God is trying to speak to us." And don't expect the unbelieving world to respond. And I will say with the profoundest love in my heart to you today, if there is no stirring in your heart, there's only one reason: you don't know the Lord. If Easter is just another Sunday, you don't know the Lord. That's why I want to invite you to give your heart to Jesus. So I'm just telling you that here I come to this incredible time. I've often said to myself, why did Jesus go into the temple? And all of a sudden it's become clear to me, but he was speaking about the temple of his body. And when therefore he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken unto them. And there are three expressions through the Bible. When you and I encounter the Lord through prayer and fasting, and we understand and recognize that the walls are broken down, the gates are burned, and we cry out to God, and we come to know Christ as Savior, and those of us who are already believers, we become renewed and strengthened. It's got to go somewhere. The Bible teaches three zones of the expression. Number one, it's going to compel us to go. I've even written in this thing just probably, 50 examples of how you and I can go. It's the fundamental basis of the Christian life. It's the mission that God calls us to do. It's the great commission of God. And it begins right here in our own community. It's the Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. It's the willingness of God's people to say, I know that Jesus Christ is the temple. I know that he is the all-sufficient one. I know that outside of him, we are nothing. And that unless God would come down upon us, we are doomed to die. And because of that, I'm willing to go.
You're listening to Dr. Don Wilton, our teacher here on the Encouraging Word broadcast, and we'll be back with today's message, I Will Raise It Up, in just a minute. But Dr. Wilton wants me to take this pause to remind you we're here for you. As we hear that challenge of compelling us to go, know this, you're not called to go alone. Jesus sent everyone out in twos, and again, maybe even more than that, as we take the body of Christ and be what God's called us to be. If the Lord's calling you, I pray you would let us step alongside you, be your prayer support, be an encourager to you. That's what we're called to do, to encourage each other. If you'd like to give us a call, the phone number is easy to remember, 866-899-WORD. Here are the real numbers if you want to jot it down or store it in your cell, 866-899-9673. You'll find that and other ways to connect on our website as well at theencouragingword.org. We'd love to be a resource for you in your growth in Jesus Christ.
In America today, more and more people are starving for the good news of the gospel. Can you for just a moment imagine this world without the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? Can you imagine this country without the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? We as a nation must bring back the values and the core principles that we were founded on. That is where we need your help. I'm asking you to help the Encouraging Word plant more seeds in this barren soil that is our America by simply following and sharing encouraging words shared on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Friends, you never know how one encouraging message could change the life of someone who may desperately need it. The book of James tells us to be doers of the word and not hearers only. And I believe that for too long, we've heard without action. Thank you for your support for our social media platforms in sharing truth with the searching world.
Now back to today's message with Dr. Don Wilton.
Number two, I'm willing to serve. I thank God for countless scores of people, not only here in this community, but around the nation who know and love the Lord Jesus, who serve Him. I've often said to myself, I'm not so convinced that this world would get the kind of help they get without Christians who roll up their sleeves and serve. I've listed probably, 30, 40, 50 examples of just illustrations of the way in which you serve. Third, I'm willing to give. What is the matter with us Christians? What is the matter with us? Why have you got such a problem with somebody talking about money in the church? Why have you become so self-righteous about what God does, but you're willing to send off thousands of dollars to this and thousands of dollars to that? We're spending our money on our clubs and our social life and on all the things that we've gotten, the accumulation. We go into the house of God and we hold on to all our own brand of sacrifices and traditions. But when it comes to just simply giving to God, how come some of you men are willing to stand out on street corners and take up offerings for great causes, but when it comes to the house of God, you rise up and you object? How come when it comes to the things that really matter in this world, the Christian community in America is going to sleep? How come it is that we're so willing to give our money to political candidates, and we should do so, but when it comes to the work that Jesus Christ has called us to do, it's like tapping blood from a brick? And the Bible is very clear when it comes to the temple of His body. Nehemiah chapter 10, we will not forsake the house of the Lord. And giving according to God's word comes in two forms, and only in two forms. The tithe, which is 10% of your total income, goes to your church. Why so many of you taking your tithes and giving them to everything else excepting to your church? You're being disobedient to God. And that's one of the reasons God is not blessing us. The tithe, according to the scripture, comes to your church with no strings attached. It's 10% of everything that you earn. And if in America today, all believers were to tithe, whether you earn $20,000 or $200,000 a year, if every believer in America tithed, the work of the Lord Jesus Christ would reverberate around this world like we've never seen before. But what we've decided to do is to stand up and applaud the mega giants of our world who donate multi-billions to the United Nations and to corporations and also to many wonderful organizations and things without ever so much as a mention of the Church of the Living God. And Jesus looked at the church and he looked at all the sacrifices and he said, I want you to know you need to focus in on me because I am the resurrection and the life. I am the temple of the living God because I am the Son of God and God by his power raised me up from the grave so that you can have life. And the second part of our giving is offerings. You can do whatever you choose with offerings. So grateful to the Lord for people who are so generous with their over and above the tithes, and we've all got opportunity to do that. What a blessing. What did Jesus do when he went into the temple? He made a statement. Made a statement by where he went. He went into the church to do this. He made a statement by what he did. He threw out the things that should not be there, telling those people. But number three, he made a statement by responding, how he responded. He said, all of this, if you want to look at me, you want to vest your life in me, I'm life. I want you to know the Lord Jesus loves you. I'm telling you, he loves you. He died for you. He's the best friend that you'll ever have. He's the only one that can forgive you for your sin. God, by his power, raised him from the grave. I want to invite you to give your life to Christ, and I'm going to ask you to do that today. I'm going to ask you to surrender your life to him. I'm going to ask you to come and say, please help me to know Jesus today. I'm going to ask you today to come and to lay your life before him, to commit your life to him, to be committed to him. I'm going to ask you to say to him, yes, Lord.
That's the challenge, to say yes. If you'd like to have some questions answered, if you'd like to have someone pray with you and talk with you, won't you call us? 866-899-WORD is the phone number. That's 866-899-9673. Or meet us online at theencouragingword.org. And perhaps the most important words from our pastor are next.
Are you ready to give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm so happy to hear that. Why don't you pray this prayer with me today? Dear God, I know that you love me very, very much. And I know that the Lord Jesus Christ came and died on a cross so that I might be forgiven of my sin. Today, I repent of my sin. I confess my sin to you. And I invite you to come into my heart and into my life by faith. In Jesus' name I pray. If you've prayed that prayer, let me be the first one to welcome you to the family of God. This is wonderful. I hope that you know how much I'm going to be praying for you and how very important this is for me. Call us so that we can talk to you and connect you in the right place so you can begin this wonderful journey. And in just a moment, I'm going to come back with a final word.
Has God spoken to you through our pastor, Dr. Wilton, today? If so, share with us how God is working in your life and let us share with you resources that will help you grow. Let us pray for you at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. Or meet us online at theencouragingword.org. Matter of fact, theencouragingword.org, our website, is a great place to discover more about a grand book from Dr. Wilton.
I'm going to ask a penetrating question right now. What happens when you die? Where exactly do you and I go? You know, over my many years of ministry, and from so many of you, I get so many questions about life after death. All of us, people like you and me, are fascinated with the subject of life after death. That's why God led me to write the novel, The Absolute Certainty of Life After Death. This novel that I wrote was birthed out of my own personal, I think, near-death experience, and it just flowed from my heart. It's the story about two men in a real world. One died and the other man died. One went to heaven, the other man did not. And it's based on what Jesus teaches us in his word. This book will change your view of heaven, and it will help you to understand the significance of what it means to be with Christ or to live separated from Him forever. I want you to have a copy. Call the number on your screen and request your own personal copy of my novel, The Absolute Certainty of Life After Death. The Encouraging Word is a viewer and listener-supported broadcast ministry, and your financial support helps us to reach just one more for Christ. And this book has been used to change lives all across America. Call and get your copy now.
That number again is 866-899-9673, 866-899-9673, or theencouragingword.org.
You know, I want to say something to you personally. You ready for this? Thank you. It's a powerful word, isn't it? Small one, powerful. I want to thank you. You see, the sun hardly rises or sets in a day that we don't see people coming to know Christ through this broadcast ministry every day. And you make that possible through your prayers, most of all, and through your financial giving. God is doing something great. And in our world today, this medium of television, very important, folks. This is very, very important. God is allowing us to go into more and more homes across the United States of America. Thank you for helping us make this possible. And let's never stop praying that people would come to know Jesus. God bless you.
After the Encouraging Word broadcast is over, there's still a wonderful place to connect 24 hours a day. It's theencouragingword.org. You can visit our message archives, download Dr. Wilton's sermons, or sign up for our weekly podcast. A favorite button on our website is the prayer request button, where you can share a prayer request or personal need. Maybe you have a praise report or a testimony. Let us know so we can rejoice with you as well. You can also sign up for our daily Bible guide and have devotions sent to your email every single day. Now, if you have a question about your salvation, perhaps questions about how to share your faith with a friend, let us walk you through the steps to a personal relationship with Jesus and the ability to share that with others. If you're looking for a book from Dr. Wilton or maybe a CD or DVD, we have resources ready to send to you at the click of a button. No matter what the reason, we hope you'll connect with us today online at theencouragingword.org.
Preacher Wilton, thank you for your prayers and your messages throughout the world. I have always enjoyed your words and how you break it down and explain it so I know exactly what you're saying. I was brought up as a child going to church and was saved and baptized at a camp at a church in North Carolina. I have never faithfully given my tithes on a regular basis, but I prayed about it and I feel that I got an answer from God when I got your letter about contributing to the Encouraging Word. I feel like it would help me to know that I was helping to spread the Word of God in Jesus Christ throughout the world. Thank you for this opportunity. God bless you, Dr. Wilton, and your work.